Boker Tov World. Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Tetvav. And we're holding right at the bottom over here of Yudalet Amud Beit. This is a tough sugya. So we're still trying to discover whether the din of Helech is Kischi or not. So somebody gives something to a shliach to deliver, and he tells him, bring this thing to so-and-so. So we had a complicated case. The man comes, discovers that so-and-so has died. He has heirs. What is he supposed to do with the gift that was given to him by this person? So we had all of these different shitas, which became more complicated in a case where the sender had died also, so he can't simply send it back. Now the question is, to whose heirs does he give it? So we had many, many different shitas. Yesterday we wanted to be medayik, that there two out of the five shitas that we mentioned were arguing about whether Herlach is Kischi or not. So according to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who said that the only issue that you have to worry about over here in terms of the heirs of the sender is that they have a mitzvah to kayem et divrei hamet, and therefore only in the event that the sender died would we have an issue of whether to send it back to him. That's because we have this takana that the Rabbanan said to be mekayem the person's last will and testament, because that's what he wants. He asked you to do this for him. But not because of Helech Kischi. Masha'enkein the Yesh Omrimu say essentially the same thing. According to them, it doesn't matter whether the sender died or not, because the issue would be Herlech Kischi, and therefore the recipient was Zoicha in it still in the moment that the Shliach took it. So assuming that the recipient was alive, then the halacha would be that he was already Zoicha. If subsequently he died, his heirs will inherit it. So that's what we were trying to say. We then changed the possibility by saying, look, maybe actually the case over here is that the sender was in dire straits. So in other words, he was actually a Shriv Meira. Now, we had said before in our attempt to understand things, when we were giving alternative explanations, we said there may be a difference between a Bari and a Shriv Meira. So that if it's a Shchiv Meira, since the Rabbanan in general, they provided this new mechanism for a Shchiv Meira to simply say what he wants done, and it gets done, without any kind of kinyan. So therefore, in the case where he does dispatch the gift with a Shliach, so we should also give him the additional power of, since we say, look, the guy really wants this gift to be given, since he's in dire straits, so we should also provide Helech Kischi in that case. But if it's a Bari, then we won't say Helech Kischi. Once we said that in the previous case, we now have a completely new interpretation. Why? Because instead of arguing as to whether even by a Bari there's Helech Kischi, let's say the opposite. Let's say we're definitely talking about a Shchiv Meira, but not necessarily a Helech Kischi even by a Shchiv Meira. Why not? Because there's a machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbanan about whether there is this special din of a Shchiv Meira being in a position to be dvarav kiketuvim v'chatumim dami. That's the thing. So maybe that's the whole basis of the complex machlokes, is how exactly do they relate to this machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, according to which, since Rabbi Elazar holds that even a Shchiv Meira doesn't have any additional powers to transmute and transfer property than anybody else, and he's going to have to go through the same Kesef Shtar Chazak as anybody else, then we will also not be giving him special rights in terms of Herlech Kischi. Masha Einken, according to the Chachamim, who say that there is an advantage given to a Shchiv Meira, so Einoch Inami, there would be also the advantage of Herlech Kischi. And that would make everything very simple. So we boil it down to the same machlokas. And let's just see this inside again, because that's where we got up to. In the machlokas of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanan, this is the fourth line up from the bottom. We'll just review it briefly. Where was that machlokas? That's not. Hamechalek nechasav al piv. Somebody is dying and giving away. Now, we're saying even dying. It turns out, according to Rabbi Lazar, it could be any case would be the same. Mechalek nechasav al piv. A guy gives away his property to his children, not al pi the dinim of Yerusha, but he gives different things and different amounts to different children. So Rabbi Elazar, doesn't matter whether he's perfectly healthy or whether he's on his deathbed. It's exactly the same. If he has the chasim sheyesh lemachrayut, if he has real estate, so then you have as your alternatives real estate kinyonim. What is that? Kesev, shtar, chazaka. This is old-time stuff. Every fifth grader knows that. And if he has mitaltalim, she'en lemachrayut, so then if he wants to give it away, the only thing that he can do is he can tell them, you take it to your homes. You know, they could be kinet b'meshicha. But he certainly can't just say, abracadabra, I'm giving away my golden chalice to my oldest son. You can't say that. Mashen kein, the chachamim say, not true. If this guy is in dire straits, so then he can just say it. And you don't need kesev, you don't need shtar, you don't need chazaka, you don't need meshicha, you don't need hagbah, nothing. And, as a matter of fact, our dear Rebbe Elazar, it happens to be that we know of an actual case of Iman Shabanei Rochel, Shaita Chola. So there was the mother of the sons of, either the guy's name is Rochel, some say, or he was a Rochel, it was a guy going around and he would sell jewelry. Anyway, so she had access to very expensive jewelry, according to that. And the mother was very ill. And on her deathbed, she says, Tinatein kivinati, I would like to give my diamond necklace to my daughter. It's worth $12 million. Vibish Nemasarmon. And obviously, the boys of the family were not too happy about a $12 million diamond necklace. You know, I mean, they could easily use that money for a nice new, a couple of Teslas and a yacht. And so, okay, so they weren't too happy with it. And nonetheless, even though they sued, Kimu Chachamim et Devarim, the Chachamim said, she says, I want to give it. That's good enough. So apparently, you can simply transfer property in extremis by making that statement, which is a special din. So what do you say to that, Rebbe Elazar, huh? Amalim, what do I say to that? I say they should all drop dead. That's what I say. B'nei Rochel, tikberei mimam. Let their mother bury them. Of course, she was already buried, but whatever. But it's still, you get the idea. They should drop dead. Why should they drop dead? Well, it turns out, this is a sort of a personal opinion of Rebbe Elazar that they should drop dead. You see, there's a question in Saudi Arabia whether if somebody is growing thorns and thistles in his vineyard. So since over there they have camels, and camels apparently are related to Eeyore, they like thistles. So therefore, in Saudi Arabia, thistles are considered to be Kloy HaKerem. And that's Rebbe Elazar Shita. So these B'nai Rochel were allowing thistles to grow in their Kerem. Can you imagine? They should all drop dead. Anyway, so if that's the case, now that would mean, remember, which just to make sure that Barnea keeps quiet here, that would mean that when Rebbe Elazar says they should all drop dead, he was simply being Mechala Kotzi Min HaKerem. That's all. You like that, Barnea? Okay. Very good. So in any event, in this case, the reason that Rebbe Elazar says, I don't care about that case, is because do you honestly think that Chachomim would have been medayik in what the situation is of that family? They would say, blech, get them out of here, right? And therefore, the type of people that would be quoting a psak about the details, I don't know what happened over there, you know? First of all, I don't rely on Chachomim that are quoting. Furthermore, that's what some say. Furthermore, they would not have brought the family in to discuss the details about whether she had made a kinyan, she hadn't made a kinyan. What are you telling me? They were Mekayim Dvarei, and therefore it's a raya against me. Nobody wants to hear from B'nai Rochel. Please, Let's talk about some normal things. You got a good TV? Fred, we're not interested in this. Okay. Anyway, here's my analysis now, based on taking all of the shitas that we had before, and instead of making a machlokas about whether holokisri in general, it's very simple. Let's go through the different shitot, because now it's all very clear. Everybody agrees that for a bari, we do not say holokisri. And the Braita is talking about a case where the man who sent the shliach was dying. So the Tanakama, he says, return the money to the sender. He's going according to Rebbe Lozer. I don't give a hang if this guy said, and he's dying, because a dying person has no more power to transfer property than anybody else. So therefore, send it back to him. That is exactly what Rebbe Lozer would say. So, okay. Then we had the next sheet, and that was Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Yaakov, where they added one additional point, that if the sender had died meanwhile, we still send it back to his heirs. Why? That's because they want you to know that even though he died, we don't say, well, his heirs should respect his last wishes, which is mitzvah l'kayem divrei hamet. We don't say that, okay? Then came along the Yesh Omrim. The Yesh Omrim said, wait a minute, if the guy was dying, then he's a Shchiv Mira, and we hold, like the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan says Shchiv Mira does have extra power. And therefore, that extra power should also make us acknowledge that Hailech is Kisri, because he really, really wants this to be transferred immediately with the Shliach. Alon seems to be dozing off. Come along. Okay. Likely story there. You got also strawberries hidden? Just to make sure that we don't accuse you of dozing off, huh?
It might be like, he's being like Rabbi Yirmiyah, right? He still hears everything, so we got to say everything correct, because then he made us pop up and correct us.
Yeah, but that's not good enough for Daf Yomi. But that's a good point. So therefore, in this case, Hailech is Kisri. So therefore, they say, give the money to the Yorshim of the person that was supposed to receive them. Don't send them back to the sender. Rabbi Yudah Hanasi, who was quoting Rabbi Meir, he holds like Rabbi Elazar. And he says, no, there's no Hailech Kisri. So why do I say that nonetheless don't give them back to the heirs of the sender? For a completely different reason. Mitzvah l'kayim divrei amet. That's why he injected that as a new issue, which nobody else had mentioned until this point. Because the Yesh Omrim were talking about the special case of a Shchiv Mira of Hailech Kisri, and he doesn't agree that there is a special case because he holds like Rabbi Elazar, but he holds with the Psak if the guy had died in between. But that's because only of the mitzvah kaim divrei amet, and therefore there's a big difference between them, because he wouldn't have said Hailech Kisri if he hadn't died, then that wouldn't have been true. The Chachomim say, look, we don't really know. We don't know whether how to paskin over here between Rebbe Elazar and the Chachomim, and we don't know how to paskin about the issue of mitzvah l'kayim divrei amet. Therefore, whatever the case was, if the guy had died, we're not sure about mitzvah l'kayim divrei amet, so let's split it. And if the guy hadn't died, we're not sure whether we paskin like Rebbe Elazar or we paskin like the Chachomim, and therefore it's unclear whether in this case, just because he was a Misukan and he was a Shchiv Mira, it's unclear whether we should say Hailech Kisri or not. So let's split it. Here in Bavel, they said the Shliach should do what he considers to be the most reasonable thing. Okay, that's because we hold here in Bavel this concept of Shuda. Yesterday we said Shuda essentially means it's a toss-up, because the word literally means to throw it. Shuda la, right? So it's a toss-up. So it's in this case, you don't allow things to do a split. Why is that? Because if you're going to split it, you're definitely doing the wrong thing. Because when you split it, you're for sure half of it is being done wrongly. So why split it? It makes more sense at least to give a chance to justice to be done. So if the shliach uses his best judgment, at least there's a 50% chance that it was right. But if you're going to split it, there's a 100% guarantee that it's wrong, at least half of it. So what's better, half being wrong or all maybe being right. Okay, this is a question that comes up in life very often. This is a machlokas, okay? So here in Bavel, do your best. And what about Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon Anasi, remember, he didn't come and say anything new. He just said that the Beis Din paskened exactly like Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Yaakov at the beginning. By the way, says the Gemara, who in the world is this Rabbi Shimon exactly? Was there a guy called Rabbi Shimon HaNasi that we don't know who it is? Or are we saying, is there a little bit of a mistake over here? And actually, it means, I saw somebody wrote and wanted to know whether it was Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, right? Which is, Moshe, I think, asked on the chat, is it Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi? But he never became the Nasi. Remember the Gemara service that he says that he's not going to be the Nasi. So how could he be Rabbi Shimon HaNasi and we don't know who he is? He's certainly not Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, the father. Nobody ever called him Rabbi Shimon HaNasi. So maybe there's a mistake. Maybe it shouldn't say Rabbi Shimon HaNasi, but rather Rabbi Shimon Mishum HaNasi. So he was quoting one of the Nasiim, maybe. Well, Tashma, take a look at this. Rav Yosef Paskins, Halacha Rabbi Shimon HaNasi. So apparently there really was such a person. I mean, I don't understand why that's more definitive than the Lashon HaBraita. I'm still asking, did Rabbi Yosef mean Rabbi Shimon HaNasi? Or is Rabbi Yosef simply saying the Lashon in the Braita, Rabbi Shimon HaNasi, which means B'Shem HaNasi? I don't see that that answers anything. I have the same question. Was he a Nasi? Or are we saying HaNasi because he's quoting a Nasi? I don't know. Give up. Anyway, let's go back to this psak, okay? Rabbi Yosef Paskin Halacha K'Rabbi Shimon HaNasi. How could that be? Every Beis Din paskens that divrei shchiv mira kichtuvim uchmesurim. Rabbi Shimon HaNasi said, give the money back. So something's wrong. I mean, that's not like the halacha. How could Rabbi Yosef have said, we pasken like Rabbi Shimon HaNasi to give it back to the person who, even if he died, to his heirs? Because we don't say that there's an additional value over here to the fact that he was a shchiv mira. I mean, all of this doesn't make any sense. Every Beis Din we know of paskens divrei shchiv mira k'tuvim u'chmesurim, which is against Rabbi Elazar, and is only going according to the Chachamim. So why would we give it back? No, you're assuming that Rabbi Yosef was talking about the way that we had just explained the Braisa. You know, that's what happens with prejudice. Forget about that. That was, remember, that was our alternative to explain the Braita, that it's in terms of the Machlokas of Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, because we wanted to avoid the implications that the Machlokas between the Yesh Omrim and Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was about whether Herlech Kisri. Thank you very much. You're in the middle of a sugya, and now you forgot, you know, that this is the latest approach and attempt. I mean, who's to say that Rabbi Yosef believes that? Rabbi Yosef took the Braita at face value the way we took it yesterday. He wasn't talking about a machlokas, about whether divrei shchiv mira k'tuvim u'chmesurim dami. He's talking, he understood the Braita we did the way we did before. The Braita is talking about a bori. And he's paskening like Rabbi Shimon without anything to do with Rabbi Elazar. Yeah, but wait a second. There's another problem here, because Rabbi Shimon HaNasi said that we should give the money back to the Yorshim of the Mishaleach. So, I mean, what about the problem of Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMeit? Those Yorshim, and we paskin that also. If he's telling us that Alok's Rabbi Shimon, then it's all very nice to say that this is not a contradiction to the psak about Divrei Shchiv Mira, which every Beis Din makes. But there's another psak, and it is going to contradict, namely that Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMeit. And if Rabbi Yosef says that Alok is like Rabbi Shimon to give it to the heirs, but the heirs are not allowed to take it. Those heirs have to be Mekayim, their deceased father's last words, and they have to go and give it to the heirs of the person that he wanted to send it to. So anyway, you're not getting out of the problem of Rav Yosef's psak by changing the way that he understood the Braita. No. That's because the way that your Girsa has it. But apparently, The correct girsa, this was the girsa that Rabbi Yosef had, was Tane Yachzuru l'mishaleach. That's all. Not leyorshei ha-mishaleach, only to the mishaleach. And therefore, it has nothing to do with mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meit, and everything is fine. And Richie had to rush back from the seashore yesterday so he would have good internet to be able to be with us this morning so that we could hear him very clearly. Even though Doc was sitting there and was very excited to see Richie over the sea, because it meant that today his big moment would come. But no, Richie undercut him. Hadron Alach Amevi Get. Oh, look at that. So, even though we just finished Perek Hamevi Get, we've just arrived at Perek Hamevi Get. Okay, so there's two pereks Hamevi Get, and one of them is called Hamevi Kama, and one of them is called Hamevi Batra, just to make sure that we don't get confused. So, let us go over another perek, another opening Mishnah, that seems to be rather repetitious in terms of the dinim of Hamevi Get Mimidinat Hayam Tzorich Shomar B'Fanai Nechtam B'Fanai Nechtam. This time, we want to talk about variations in the theme. What happens if the shliach doesn't make the entire statement as he's required to make? So, suppose Hamevi Get Mimidinat Hayam, and he says, Bifanai Nechtav. He does not say, Bifanai Nechtam. When it says, Avalo Bifanai Nechtam, it doesn't mean that the shliach said, but it wasn't signed in front of me. It just means he did not say it was signed in front of me. Right? So he never said those words, Bifanai Nechtam. Or maybe he said, Bifanai Nechtam, and he never said, Bifanai Nechtam. Or maybe he even said, Bifanai Nechtav, but only half of it was Nechtav Bifanai, and all of it was Nechtam Bifanai, or Bifanai Nechtam Kulo. In any of these cases, the get is possible. Now, there would be two reasons, of course, why the get is possible. Because this is dependent on how we understood the Gezerah back in the first parak with the opening Mishnah. Once again, let's remember, according to Rabbah, the get is possible because everything has to be, even the Chatima, has to be Lishma. And according to Rava, it's possible only because we're worried that maybe at some later date the husband is going to be Ma'ar'er on the get, and we won't have Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaimai. And therefore, we want to make sure that in allowing the Shliach to say B'Fanai Nechtam, and remember, we're putting him on the hot seat because he's going to have to answer questions in front of two, or maybe even in front of a bezin of three. That was a different machlokas, remember. Then, because we put him in the hot seat, he takes the place of the normal Kiyum HaShtar with the Eidim. And therefore, we won't be able to be Me'ar'er. That was Rava's understanding of the whole idea. So if he says, therefore, according to Rava, that there's no problem of Lishma, so since he only said, Bifanai Nechtam, what's the problem? The problem is that people will think that even though he's in the hot seat, remember, so why, according to him, there's no lishma. So the Gemara asked before, so why does he have to say it was written in front of me? The writing is irrelevant. So remember, as we said before, according to Rava, the reason is because we're nervous that people will get mixed up. And if we don't have a very special nusach that the shliach has to say, Bifanai Nechtav or Bifanai Nechtam, then people will get this confused that even a normal Kiyum HaShtar, you can be Mekayim with one person, which is, of course, ridiculous. To do a Kiyum HaShtar, you would need two people. So we made a takana to make the evident difference between the shliach who's bringing it as opposed to an aide who's bringing it. That way people won't come to make the mistake of being Mekayim HaShtar on the basis of an aide echad. Now, how about if he says, Bifanai Nechtam Chetzio. So what about that? So over there, the Bifanai Nechtam Chetzio, what would be the usefulness of that? if he's saying it together with Bifanai Nechtam, so then he has a din of a shliach who said Bifanai Nechtam, but he never said Bifanai Nechtam. Obviously, that's possible. Each one according to the shita of Rabba or Rava, as we explained it. Now, the question is, just we need to make very clear, that if he said, Bifanai nechtav chetzio, remember that we said before that even kan kalmusa is enough, and yafilu shita achat is enough, so why isn't chetzio enough? It doesn't make sense. So the Gemara is going to explain that the Bifanai nechtav chetzio is a reference to the later half. And the later half is basically the part that's just printed out on the computer and has nothing to do with the aspect of Lishma. It's only the first part that has the name of the man, the name of the woman, and the date with the Hareyat Muter Tuchol Adam. There ain't Achinami. If it would have been the first part, that would have been perfectly okay, because we said that if we started writing Lishma, then we could assume everything was written Lishma. And that would be the Toref of the Get, and that's the equivalent of saying everything was written down in front of me. That would be okay. So that's the Shita Achat. Now, what about if Echad Omer Befanai Nechtam? If Echad Omer Befanai Nechtam? How about if we have two separate people? One is giving the full Nechtam, one is giving the full Nechtam. Now, the question is, are both of these people Shlichim? And each one of them is saying half of the shlichut, or is only one of them a shliach, in which case the shliach did not say Bifanai Nechtav? Or can you put together two shlichim? That we're going to discuss in the Gemara, in which between them they're saying Bifanai Nechtav, Bifanai Nechtav. Or maybe this case is only where only one of them was a shliach, and the other one is just a witness. And therefore the reason that we wouldn't be believing him is because a witness isn't believed, only as a shliach is believed. That's a special din, which is called the Takanat Chachamim, of believing a shliach b'fanai nechtav u'b'fanai nechtam. But according to this approach, if both of them are shlichim, so then there would be no problem at all. Why? Well, according to Rava, there's no problem, because remember, that was the big deal, the difference between Rava and Rava, is that if there's two people, then you don't need anything else because you've already got Edim L'Kaimai, the way Rashi understood it before. And Tosfos says, what do you mean you already got Edim L'Kaimai? Who's to say that these guys are going to hang around? And who's to say that they even recognize the Chatima of the Edim? That's ridiculous. The reason that you don't have to worry if you have two people, according to Tosfos, was because any time the two witnesses say that her husband divorced her in front of us, they are believed. And so for them to say that the husband sent a get with us, they are believed, as if they said, we saw the husband divorcing her. That's not a problem. So in this case, they would not need any kind of kiyum, according to Rava's problem over here. And if Shnayim Omrim Befaneinu Nechtav, V'Echad Omer Befanei Nechtam, it's possible, again, if we're talking about the case where the get is only being brought by one shliach, that's called get yotze mitachas yoda shel achas mehem, and the other one is just an aid, it's the same problem. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, in that case, it should be perfectly all right. So he's makshir, even though the get is only being brought by one shliach, because since you have two people that are essentially being me'id, that's enough for people not to get confused with Kiyum Shtoreis D'Alma, according to Rava. And if you're old of Rava, so then you'll have to say that they also were made, that it was done Lishma. But since you have two Edim, so that's just as good as a one Shliach, isn't it? So there should be no problem. And therefore, everybody would agree, even the Tanakama would agree, that the get is kosher, according to Rava, because you have two people. And, or, according to Rabba, as we just said, we could say that the guy actually said that I saw him sign Lishma, that's fine. Some say that even if the get was Yotze, as we're going to see in the Gemara, even if the get is Yotze from two Edim, and the Edim say, Bifaneinu Nechtav, and they're not Shlichim, so it would also be Kosher. Because essentially, we're not chayish for the iur abal if there's two witnesses who say that we were told to do it. Now, suppose echad omer b'fanay nechtav, and shnayim omrim b'faneinu nechtav, would also be kosher. According to Rava, for sure it's kosher, because you have two edim, and Rava said, as long as you have two, we don't have to worry about edim or mitzvim l'kaima. What about according to Rava, who says that you need to have edis on lishma? So over here, the get would have to be yotzei from mitachat yodo of the shliach, meaning that the shliach was the one who said, b'fanai nechtav. And after all, the Chachomim believed a shliach to say b'fanai nechtav, and therefore we don't have a problem of lishma. That's some of the Rishonim hold. Other hold that according to Rabbah, both of them will have to be me'id, and Enochinami, if he didn't say b'fanai nechtav u b'fanai nechtam, then there's no takona of believing a shliach, because the shliach has to say the entire gear. So all of this we're going to see comes out of the way the Gemara explains it, and I just wanted to get it all together so you could understand the issues in advance, and now we'll go through the points, each one on its own. My first question is, says the Gemara, why are we repeating all of this? I mean, you got me so confused, now I have to have a carbon copy of the first parak and call one the original and call the other one the copy? I mean, what's going on? You're not adding anything. This was the opening of the Masechet. I mean, so all of this basically follows from that first Mishnah. Well, does it? I mean, if I only knew the first Mishnah, when you say Tzorech Sheyomar, does that mean that it's possible if you don't? It just means that that's the best idea? I mean, maybe that would be because we saved the woman from the Irur HaBaal, and maybe it shouldn't be possible b'di'avad. I mean, like we said earlier, why would we possible it? And so on and so forth. I mean, I don't know. But maybe Ilo Amar Kasher. So we definitely need a Mishnah to tell us that this is an absolute and it's ma'akev. If the Shliach doesn't say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam. Now, I want to understand the case. B'fanai nechtav chetzio, u'b'fanai nechtam kulo, it's possible. Which half? Because I seem to recall before that we learned that even if it was one line, it was enough. Now you're saying half isn't enough. Which half isn't enough? Are we talking about the first half? Ilema chetzio rishon? But Rebbe Lozer says, afilo lo katabela shita achat l'shma, shuv eino tzorech. So he does not have to be made on more than that first line. According to Rabba, l'shma, even. It can't be that. You're right. Elam Ravashi, it's talking about chetzio ha'acharon. Okay, let's take the next piece. Befanai nechtav kulo, ubefanai nechtam chetzio, it's possible. Now we have an incredible chiddush of Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says, let me tell you something. You said that you could be mekayim the get the way you're mekayim any other contract. And in that event, according to Rava, there would certainly be no problem because, after all, we've got ourselves two witnesses, right? Well, I got news for you. Suppose the shliach said, I saw one signature, and two edim come, and they say, we recognize the second signature. So then that means we have the shliach telling us that the first signature is reliable, and we believe the shliach who says, b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam. And we have two normal edim being mekayim, the signature of the other one. So you would think, says Rav Chisda, that equals a fully clear-cut, signed legally get, right? But you'd be wrong. That's not true. Why not? Because you cannot combine, says Rav Chisda, two different mechanisms for achieving the result. Either you're going to have a shliach who does it right, and that's called the takanat chachamim, and he's going to say b'fanai nechtav and b'fanai nechtam the way he has to, or you have two edim that are going to tell you that each one of these signatures is the correct signature. But you cannot have it half and half. We do not believe a shliach who says half of what he's supposed to have and say, well, at least we got the half. Let's stick him together with a normal kiyum shtar. No. Either you're going to be doing it b'kiyum haget, with classic kiyum shtaris, using two edim on each one of the signatures, or you can rely on a shliach who says the whole bit. You cannot rely on a shliach who says part of a thing and put him together as if we believed him entirely on the witness that he's being made on. So that's your choice. Either it's kula b'takanat chachamim or it's kula b'kiyum haget. Mr. Gavi is missing, and I'm worried he's not going to write down this very important yesod. Mr. Gavi, please assure us with your those headphones. Anyway, AirPods, right, I think. So please assure us that you will be writing this down. It's an amazing, amazing idea. O kulo b'kiyum haget. Okulo betakanat chachamim. Ma'akif lo Rava. Rava says, that halacha seems completely wild. Did you hear all of that, Gavi? Did you get? I thought you were wearing your holy iPhones. I said it again, AirPods. This is another thing. Okuloi bekiyam haget, okuloi betakanat chachamim. An amazing idea. So now, ma'akif lo Rava. This cannot make sense. I don't understand this at all. How would it make sense to you that we believe a guy who said the whole thing, one guy, and he would be kosher? Now that we have two people, now it's worse? That's ridiculous. Now, this is a big question, which should remind you of the issue that we had before. Do you remember when we were talking about the original machlokas of Rabba and Rava? Where the Gemara said that Rava is very nervous that maybe people will get this confused with Kiyum Shtaris the Alma. And Rava said to him, how could people get it confused? It could be very much dummies, but you couldn't be that dummy, me dummy. After all, Taina's Rava, that since you're going to need two people, how in the world would they think you could be Mekayim Be'ed Echad? So Rava's response was, well, if the shliach would say, Yadanu, that I know the signature, wouldn't that be enough? So then people would get it confused with Kiyum Shtaris, even though he's not saying Bifanai. And Rava was saying, here he has to say Bifanai, there he's saying, I know, right? So Rava says back, well, if he said, I know, it would also be good. Rashi said over there, if you recall, that even his single shliach's words, I know, is as good as saying b'fanai nechtam. Now, according to that, the Gemara's kasha is very powerful. Rava is saying, that's ridiculous. If the same guy had said himself, I recognize the other signature, that would have been fine. Now you're telling me because two people recognize it, now it's worse? How is that possible? Okay, so according to Rashi, yes, that is certainly a very powerful taina. According to Tosis's approach over there, remember Tosis said, well, we would never believe one guy. The only reason we're believing the shliach remembers because he's in the hot seat. We're not going to believe him if he says, I know, I recognize. That's not putting him in a special situation of being in the hot seat of needing to say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. And therefore, it would have to be if they said, yada'anu, where there were two shliachim, and they said, we recognize, two of us recognize it, it would be okay. But that would mean that Rava is simply pointing out, the way Tosius understands it, if you're nervous about mixing this up with Kiyum Shtaris, the Alma, and where there would be one person, there would be no problem. Since in this case, we have two witnesses that are talking about the second signature, so how all of a sudden did it become puzzle? Why would it be more puzzled because there's two people which are less likely to get confused with people thinking you could be Mekayim, a normal shtar with Eid Echad? I don't understand. I understand that you had only one person on the other signature, but so now you've got two people on the second signature. So Mamonavshach, how are people going to get admins to make it worse? Ela Amarava, I'll tell you. Rav Chista's case is wrong. If you have two witnesses on the other signature, that's for sure going to be okay. The question that we're talking about over here is, what about the other signature? The other signature, there was one person besides him that came along and said, I recognize this signature. Yeah, we say, okay, but you're only one person. So the shliach says, I also recognize that signature. Ah, okay, great. So then we have the shliach, right? And then you've got two witnesses on the second signature. That's the point that the Mishnah is making. That's not good. What? Why not? Because think about it, says Rava. Bottom line is, let me ask you a case like this. How about a guy walks in, he brings a shtar, forget about it again, he just brings a normal shtar. He says, okay, gentlemen, there's two witnesses signed over here. One of them is me. Ha ha. Now, a person is believed to say, this is my signature. That's fine. You don't need two witnesses for the person who says, this is me, because then he's the aide. Okay. So he's confirming his testimony. Now, we say to him, okay, but you're only one aide. We can't get this money out based on just you. He says, but guess what? I recognize the signature of the other guy, and I have with me over here, Mr. McGillicuddy, who says that he also recognizes it. So that's me and McGillicuddy equals two. So now you should be Mekayim the Shtar. What's the then? It's no good. Why not? Because the Torah says, Al pi shnei edim yakum davar, which we assume to mean equal edim, each one of which is taking the same level of responsibility. In this case, the other guy besides Mr. McGillicuddy is actually taking responsibility for three quarters of it, because the first aide, he says, that's me. Now, as far as the second aide, that's half me. Well, half of one aide plus one whole aide equals three quarters. And all Mr. McGillicuddy is saying is one quarter. We can't take out the din of the mammon based on an aide of three quarters. He can be only maximally believed to one quarter. Ha-ha! Therefore, says Rava, albeit, this is not a problem, obviously, when it comes to a get, because a get, anyway, we have our special din of believing the shliach, so people are not going to worry about that. But in this case, people might get confused, because in the event that one of them is believed as a shliach, plus we're using the shliach to be made halfway on the other one, they'll scratch their heads and say, ah, so we're taking out three quarters of the money based on the same guy. You know, I mean, he was the shliach. That's why he was believed. That was 100% him. Now there's another 50% him, which isn't really true, but they'll get it confused with a shtar. Therefore, in this case, says Rava, remember, I'm the guy that believes people get confused and that they're really dummies. It's the same Rava that says we're chayish, that you're going to mix it up with kiyum shtar as the alma. Well, I think that this is a wonderful way to get mixed up. It's a three-quarter-quarter situation, and therefore it's no good. Why? Because Otto lechluve bekiyum shtarot di alma vekonafik nami riva de mamona apudna dechatzahada. That even in a case where we're taking monetary issues, where there is no dinam fanay nechtam, people may think there's no problem in being three-quarters of the total ne'emanut, and there really would be in that case. Ravashi says to Rava, I mean, I think it's the same problem, Rava, that you raised yourself against Rav Chisda. I mean, you really believe miyika midi dila masik le'iyu l'kulei dibure kasha? If the shliach had said what he was supposed to say, v'nai nechta, we would have believed one guy on the whole deal, right? So now he says everything except that the last piece, we've got somebody else with him. So now all of a sudden it becomes puzzle because we got two people. I mean, come on. It's puzzle. How could that be? The bottom line is that since the shliach would have been enough to be Mekayim the get because of the special din, who's going to think that this is a case where one... Why is it that people don't start thinking that when there's a b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam? Because they know a shliach is a unique situation. They don't confuse a shliach with an aide. So now because we have another witness, and now they're going to confuse them. Ah, I don't believe it. I'll tell you what the case is. You want to know, and what about the other? What about the other signature? That's what you want to know? I'll tell you. The guy says, I am the other signature. That's the point. So over there, you don't need to aid him, right? Because a person is Neman to say, that it's my own signature. That's the Chiddush over here. That even though it's the same Shliach who says b'fanai nechtam u'b'fanai nechtam, and this is my signature, so he will be mekayem it. Fine. So then if that's the case, it would still be puzzle. Now, how could that be? That could be because of that original brilliant idea that Gavi wrote down before. O kulo b'kiyam aget, o kulo b'takanat chachamim. You cannot combine two different takanas. And since over here we have a halacha of kiyam, and we have a separate halacha of a shliach who needs to say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, he is not believed as the shliach on the second signature. He's only believed because he's saying that this is my signature. And therefore, you can't do that. Says the Gemara, you know, Rav Chisda's approach cannot be right. Remember, Rav Chisda's approach was, even if we have two totally separate Eidim that are testifying about the one signature that the Shliach cannot testify to, even two Eidim are not believed to be put together with the Shliach. I'm going to show you, says the Gemara, that is wrong, because there's something about this Mishnah that's very strange, okay? Let's take a look at the other part of the Mishnah. B'fanai nechtav kulo, b'fanai nechtam chetzio is possible. So, I'm asking you, what is the other signature? So the other signature has nothing. The other signature has one aid. The other signature has two aidim. The other signature, the guy says, is my signature. You tell me, okay? What is the other one? So let's go through the cases, and you will see that Rav Chisda, who claims that on the other signature there were two aidim, cannot be right. Okay? Let's go through it step by step. Is there no Eidus on the other signature? I mean, for God's sake. So then why do we need to have a Mishnah telling us, if the same Mishnah says that if one person says b'fanai nechtav and the other person says b'fanai nechtam, where over there you have somebody who's testifying on the entire ketiva and on the entire chatima, and you said it's possible. So it can't be talking about that. Nobody has anything to say, because, I mean, obviously, if we only have a person to be made about half, so of course it's no good. Even if we had a person to be made on the whole thing, it wouldn't have been good. So we've got a completely unnecessary Mishnah over here, and therefore, we've got to explain it otherwise. Okay, so therefore, let's explain it as the Mishnah is coming to tell you a Chiddush that you wouldn't have known, because otherwise it's completely superfluous. What's the Chiddush? You've got three possible Chiddush. One Chiddush is the maximum. The maximum is, Rav Chisda's case, there's two witnesses on the other Chatima. One Chiddush is Rava. Rava says that it's talking about that there is another person, and the Shliach also recognizes it. And then we have my Chiddush as Ravash. That Ravashi's Chiddush was that the guy says, this is my signature, right? Okay. So, which one do you think is the correct approach? Well, if we're only being medayik, that there's an extra Chiddush here, and that's why the Mishnah said this unnecessary case, where the Shliach said nothing about the other signature, okay? What do you think is the Chiddush? Well, we have a general rule. If you're adding an extra case, tafasta meruba lo tafasta, you can only assume that the Tana of the Mishnah was adding the most obvious case. Well, the most obvious case sure as heck ain't Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda's talking about where there are two witnesses. And even two witnesses he's not going to accept. So therefore, if the only way that the Mishnah conveys to us this Chiddush, it cannot be Rav Chisda's Chiddush. It's got to be either Rava's Chiddush, that it was the Shliach with another aid, or Ravashi's Chiddush, that it was the Shliach saying, confirming that this is his signature. That's the point. It's either Oked Rava or Oked Ravashi. You can't have it, including Rav Chisda. Says Rav Chisda, come off it, man. You never heard of Lo Zu Av Zu. What's wrong with you? According to you, how do you explain the other Kiddush in the Mishnah, so-called big Kiddush, b'fanai nechtav, aval lo b'fanai nechtam, at all, okay? What is that for? If you're telling me even lo b'fanai nechtam kulo, why do you have to tell me that there was no chatima at all with witnesses? Lo b'fanai nechtam, if even b'fanai chetcho is no good. So how do you explain that? There's no big deal to explain, my dear friend. Wherever a Mishnah starts off by saying a lesser Kiddush and then continues by saying even a bigger Kiddush, okay? What's that called, gentlemen, in the fifth grade? It's called lozo avzo. So that means not only, the Mishnah is simply saying like this, not only in a case where the shliach said, I didn't see anything about the chatima, but even if he said, I saw half of the chatima, it's nothing. That's not a remez to a new big Kiddush, my friends. That's the derech of a Tana. So there is not, if the Tana wanted to come along and tell us a Kiddush, I'll tell you what he would have said. Even if there were two Edim on that other one, just like me, that's what he would have said. But he's not interested in telling us that Kiddush. He's simply interested in covering over lozu avzu in a very dramatic way. So not only if the Shliach can't tell us that he saw anything about the Chatima, even if he tells he saw half of them, it still wouldn't be good. And this question about whether you can include two completely different mechanisms to achieve a desired result is a fascinating general question. Because, as the Gemara continues, I'll finish just in 2 minutes. Supposing you have a boar in front of you. You have this large boar, and it's only 5 tefachim deep. Now, you want that boar to be a Rishus HaYochid. Suppose you build an additional 5 tefachim wall around the top of the boar. So now you've got a total of, inside the boar, a 10 tefachim. 5 of them is the ground on the side of the boar, and 5 of them is the mechitza that you added above the ground level. Well, guess what? The din over there, according to Rav Chisda, is exactly the same as the din over here. You're trying to combine two different things. You're trying to combine a mechitza with gidud, which is the ground level. You can't do that. So if you have gidud chamisha and mechitza chamisha, you cannot be mitzarif that, and that bar is not a rishus hayochid. Achye o kulo b'mechitza, o kulo b'gidud. Very similar to Rav Chisda's idea over here. In fact, we don't paskin like that. Dorash maremar, gidud chamisha o mechitza chamisha actually are mitzarif, and not only that, the halacha indeed, says the Gemara, they are mitzarif. Tomorrow, we'll go into some other fascinating questions about tziruf of different ways of doing things. What would you say about putting one hand into the mikveh and the other hand pouring water over it? Is that a good netilas yadayim? Okay, those kind of questions are fascinatingly waiting for us tomorrow, which should even get Richie here on time. And I look forward, Bezrat Hashem, to the schus of being with you tomorrow so that we can learn Teras Hashem Tamima tomorrow. Meanwhile, this day should be the day in which we have Oshia Samecho Vareches Nachal Asecha or Eim Venas Eim Ad Ha'olam. Then we can all learn with Moshe Rabbeinu tomorrow, which, even if he can't explain it as well, but Moshe said, listen, I was mitztayer, you know, you should come to me. Maybe he can even do a better job on the Daf Yomi. I don't know. We'll ask Rabbi Akiva. See you all.